Tonight's going to be a little bit different. Every week seems like I say that. Tonight's going to be a little bit different. Why? Because I have no idea what's going to happen. But I want to take a few moments, and I'm going to ask you to do me a favor and maybe move in just a little bit, if you don't mind, because we're going to be a little interactive. And if you don't feel comfortable moving in, then that's fine too. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who disobey the pastor in Christ Jesus. I'm just kidding. If you want to move up, because you may decide that you want to speak up a little bit, and you may decide that you may not want to speak up a little bit, and that's perfectly fine too. So, what has been happening on Wednesday nights has been nothing short of amazing. Mary V, I'm going to ask that when Seth gets in, that you two, Nathaniel, you're fine where you're at, but that you two move over into this section as well, okay? So I have some thoughts. So on Wednesday nights, the Spirit of the Lord has been having us as a church body learning how to walk in the gifts of the Spirit individually. Why? Because First Corinthians chapter 14 talks about every one of you as you come together. You're going to have a song, a doctrine, tongues and interpretation, you know, just different gifts. Every one of you has a gift. You have a measure of the supply of the Spirit that others can benefit from, right? And so I believe that what God wants to do in the church body in general is to grow up the church in such a way that they are learning to give out of the measure of their supply of the Spirit to benefit others. Amen. And they're walking in that place. Now, there are those that will be just fine coming to church and just sitting there and just drawing from the gifts that God places. And that's okay. There is, you know, again, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. But there are those that will be ready to really step into deeper things of God. And for the most part, those of you that are coming here on Wednesday nights, you're the ones that are ready to step out. You're the ones that are ready to walk into the greater things of God. And you want God to operate through you. And you want to yield yourself. So what I would like to deal with tonight is while we've seen different ones step out, I want to get very honest and real for just a moment. I'm always honest and real, but I want to get kind of real close with you for just a moment and just talk about what are the things that hold you back? What are the things that hold you back from stepping out? Okay? So I'm going to throw that question out there. What are the things that hold people back from stepping out into what they feel like the Spirit of God is telling them? And maybe for some people it is that I just don't feel like I hear anything. So I'm throwing the question out there. Now I'd like for you to respond with an answer. What is it that keeps people from stepping out? Anybody? Peer pressure. And what was the other one? Fear. Okay, so that's great. Let's deal with both of those. And that could take us all night right there. Because that's probably your two top things. If I was on Family Feud, survey says fear and peer pressure would be the top ones, right? So let's deal with peer pressure first, okay? So, Richard, you said peer pressure. What kind of peer pressure? What do you think? If you're talking about peer pressure, what are other people going to think?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. It's what, you know, if I'm here on Wednesday night, stepping, I'm going to back to the office and tell them to my office, so I'm stepping out.
Yeah.
why you're stepping out. Mm-hmm. Or we don't see you stepping out of the office like you step out of the church. You're not putting it all together.
So to reiterate what he's saying is, you know, he goes back and he tells people at the office what's going on Wednesday nights. I'm stepping out. I'm allowing God to use me. And then they say, well, we don't see you allowing God to use you here. We don't see you stepping out in the office. So why are you doing it on Wednesday nights? In other words, they're maybe somewhat skeptical, maybe criticizing him because he's talking about things that he's doing that they're not seeing inside the office. They're not seeing the results. And not only that, but I mean, I don't know where you work, but they're not seeing the results. And it was another thought that I had. That kind of skepticism and that kind of criticism will serve to keep you from stepping out at the office. Because what if you make a mistake? Then they're going to, people that, it's different in the church. Let's talk about it for a second. It's different inside the church because if you make a mistake here, everybody's very forgiving. We understand. We're not going to get on to you for making a mistake. We're actually encouraging you to step out and to do things you're not used to doing inside the church. And so you can feel like this is a safe place. Where you work is not a safe place. It's a lion's den is what she says. So you step out there and you make a mistake and then the lions are going to come after you, right? Okay, so peer pressure, and it really is related to the next thing, and that is fear. And that is specifically what the Lord wanted me to talk about tonight, is fear. How do you get past the fear? So I'm going to ask Melanie and Jennifer a couple of questions because I feel like I can put them on the spot. Jennifer said, so you think. Y'all pray for me. So when Jennifer has something to share, if she gets up here and Melanie's the same way, the tears just start flowing, right? It's very difficult for you, both of you, to stand up and to share with people what is on your heart. Now, I'm going to ask you, why is that? What do you feel when you get in this environment?
Well, my whole life, I've never been able to express myself from childhood. Just because of the way that I was raised.
So, you know, so she's got kind of this instilled fear even from childhood that makes it difficult for her to comfortably express herself in groups of people, to other people. You know, and Jennifer is probably similar to you. Is it just, or you just get overwhelmed with emotion?
Yeah.
Jennifer's not participating right now, so we're going to move on. So again, it's that fear. Let me ask you this. Show of hands, how many of you have to deal with fear when it comes to stepping out into some of the things that we're talking about? Show of hands, how many have to deal with fear? Okay, check that out. All right, everybody, fear. How many of you have to deal with, I mean, I'm talking about just here in church on Wednesday nights, how many of you still have to deal with that fear? Okay. Now, I want you to look around for a moment. Keep your hands up. I want you to look around for just a moment. And I want you to see that every one of you, for the most part, are in the same boat. So what you're feeling, what you're experiencing, is not any different than what your fellow believer that's sitting right next to you is feeling and is experiencing. So let's talk about how to get rid of that fear and how to overcome that fear for just a few moments, okay? Turn Turn with me over to John chapter 12. I'm just going to give you some very simple keys. I'm not going to spend a lot of time teaching on this tonight because I believe that just a few words will transform your thinking with regards to this, okay? And sometimes preachers can get caught up into talking so much about something that, you know, they can talk all around it and they can talk all through it and they can muddle up what the Spirit of God wants to say when just a few simple statements and a few simple scriptures can be life-changing. And I believe that's what's going to happen tonight. In John chapter 12, in verse 37, he said, "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes, he hath hardened their heart, and they should not, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and that I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him." Now look at verse 42. "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise that comes from God." I don't even know if I need to preach after that scripture, right? I'm done. You have here people that were in authority. These were rulers that they did see the miracles and they did believe in Jesus. But they refused to confess him because they were afraid of losing their position. They were afraid of the ridicule. They were afraid of being put out of the synagogue. They were afraid, and they loved what people said about them, the praise that comes from other people, more than they did about what God says about them and what God thinks about them and the praise that comes from God. So I would say that, first of all, we need to develop a mindset that we are only concerned about what God says about us. We're only concerned about what God thinks about us. We've got to get to a place that we are no longer concerned about what other people are thinking. Now, Peter had this very same problem. Peter told the Lord, "I will never deny you." He told the Lord, "I will be with you. You know, I will die for you." Yet, when it really came down to it, when he saw that Jesus was going to trial, when he saw that Jesus most likely was going to be put to death, and the charges were very serious, then as he was there, they asked him, they said, "Oh, you were with him." And he said, "No, I wasn't with him." And then another lady said, "I know, I saw you with him." And he said, "No, I promise you, I don't know this man." Okay, so see, now his fear is taking over. He doesn't want to be associated with Jesus. He doesn't want to be known with Jesus. And then finally, a third person said, "I know that you're one of his disciples." And the Bible says he cursed. He wanted to make sure they knew that he didn't have anything to do with them. He was more concerned about them and what they thought than he was about what Jesus thought. And Jesus looked over at that third time and he went out and wept bitterly. After Jesus died, they all stayed together in fear. They wouldn't go out and proclaim him. They didn't want to end up like him. But something changed on the day of Pentecost. The man that denied Peter, I mean, that denied Jesus three times. Where's Chad? Come here for a minute. The man that denied Jesus three times. It's called quick obedience. Are you working on something important back there?
No.
You're not? Have a seat.
I mean, yeah.
You're a crier if you're on this row? No. He's got tissue right there. No, the Lord told me to have you sit right there today. So, the man that denied Jesus three times is the very man that preached on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people got saved. And the same people that crucified Jesus, they were there. The same people he was afraid of, they were there. Because this happened in the temple. So something changed in the man that caused him to get rid of that fear. Now, what was it? I want to go over to Acts chapter 4. Because Peter's on a roll now. 3,000 people got saved. Him and John, they go up to the temple. They heal this guy. And more people get saved. I mean, God is doing miracles and he doesn't care anymore. And then it says in verse 1 that as they spoke unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold, or put them in prison unto the next day, for it was now evening. So the people he was afraid of, and him before, and being afraid of being arrested, he got arrested. They got him. So what does this do? Do you think now Peter is all of a sudden thinking or questioning, man, I guess I really messed up, and I guess I should have shut up? In verse 7, when they set him in the midst, they said, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the key.
Yep, that's it.
Then Peter, what? Filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Jesus had told him, when you're arrested, don't even think about what it is that you're going to say. Because in that very same moment, the Holy Spirit's going to tell you what to say.
Amen.
But see, worry, anxiety, and fear will stop you from hearing the voice of God when you need to hear the voice of God in that moment. So Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if today we are being examined of the good deed done to this man, by what means is he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. Sounds like to me Peter got rid of his fear problem. And in verse 18, they called them and they commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it is right in the sight of God to hearken or to obey you more than unto God, you judge. But we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and we have heard. They threatened them. They threatened them. And you're going to find out that later on, that even when some of them had gotten beaten, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. I'm about to give you some keys to getting rid of fear. The number one key, and I'm going to explain how to apply it, is love. Love. Why did they finally get to the point that they were praising God that they suffered for Jesus' name? Because they loved Him so much. They loved God so much that their love for Him was stronger than their fear of man. And the problem with most of us is that our fear of what others think is stronger than our love for God. And that's what holds us back. Now, we can all sit here and talk about how much we love God, and we do. And we can talk about how much we love Him and show Him in this setting, in praise and worship, where it's safe, how much we love Him. But how much do we really love Him if we won't even step out and let Him use us to benefit the rest of the church, let alone those that are outside? So I need to get to the place in my own life that I love Him. Now, I'm going to give you an example for a moment. I used to be very introverted. I would not go out and talk to people. I would not communicate with them if I didn't know them. And so as a result, people thought that I was a pretty cold individual or that I just had a chip on my shoulder. No, I didn't have a chip on my shoulder. I was just afraid of you. And so, you know, that stopped me from doing a lot of things, even at my senior prom. I would never go out and dance or anything like that because I was afraid of what other people would think because I can't dance. So I want you to listen for a second. So when Brooke got married in December, Brooke says, "Dad, I want to do some kind of a different dance. I don't want to do a sappy, let's all cry kind of thing. You know, will you learn some of these new dances with me?" Now, I'm going to have a whole bunch of people watching me try to do something that this body was never made to do. I have rhythm in my fingers, and that's about it. Okay? But let me tell you something. My love for Brooke was more important in that moment than what everybody else thought. And then for Olivia on Sunday, I worked a whole lot longer on all those little dances that I've never done before. But my love for my daughter was more important than what 250 people that was there at the wedding thought about me. Yeah, they laughed and they thought it was fun and all of that kind of thing. But I didn't care about that. I did this for my daughter. I loved her so much that there was no fear. There was no anxiety. There was no worry. I just wanted to do something for her. Now, Jesus's love for us and His compassion caused Him to heal people, right? What needs to happen, the reason that we have fear about stepping out and doing something in front of others is because it is our love for ourselves and our focus on ourselves more than our love for others. And the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. So how do I get past the fear? How do I overcome the fear? I have to recognize a couple of things. Number one, I need to know who I am in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God. He has given me something to benefit the rest of the body with. Number two, I love everybody here so much that I want to allow God to use me, and I want to step out and let that piece of Him, that gift that He's given me, to benefit them. And so I'm willing to take the shame. I'm willing to be embarrassed. I'm willing to do something I'm not comfortable doing because I care more about them than I do myself. And what you have to learn is to get the focus off of you. The focus has to be on him, and it has to be on others. And when your focus changes and you're no longer looking inward, but you're looking outward, then boldness will come for you to step out. Every one of you have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's time to start using that gift. Now, one other thing, one other practical thing to help you. Come here, Kenda. Come here. I love Kenda. See, many of you don't know Kenda, because she sits there and she's so quiet. But she shares with the kids.
Yes, she does.
And she called me one day and she said, "Pastor, we have a couple of kids that are ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And because of the gift that God has placed in her, we've had two or three children now that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit." Because she recognized, and because she's using that gift. Now, she's probably a little uncomfortable right here. Are you uncomfortable?
I am.
She is, okay. I could feel it. Her body's all a little tense right here. But this is the place of love. This is the place to step out. And so you have been given a gift to not just benefit the children, mm-hmm. but to also benefit the rest of the body.
Amen.
See? And I am so pleased, and the Lord is so pleased with how you're being led with the kids and led in the Spirit. There's such a gift there. There's such an anointing there. That you never need to think that you don't measure up. You never need to think that you don't have what it takes to stand up here and to share with the rest of your fellow believers.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
There's a great gift and a great anointing and a great calling on your life. Okay? I would not call you up here unless the Spirit of the Lord said, "Call you up here." Okay.
All right.
Do you receive that?
I receive.
Now, are you a little more comfortable now?
Maybe just a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Okay. You can sit down, but I want you to think about that. You don't have to run to sit down. You can walk real easy, real slow. Now. I don't like putting people on the spot, and sometimes people don't like to be put on the spot. I'm just obeying what God tells me to do, and that's why I wanted y'all to come in for just a moment, because we're rapidly moving into a time in the world, in our nation, that friends and family, fellow employees, they're not going to have the answers. And so it is going to take people, men, women of God, that are willing to listen to the voice of God and willing to step out and no longer care what they think and no longer worry about the peer pressure, but just, "God, how can I be used by you?" Now, the more you do it, the more you step out. That very first time you step out, that fear is trying to get you, trying to stop you. That fear is almost like super glue and will keep you on that seat. And you really have to act against that fear and say, "I'm going to stand up and I'm going to step out." And I've told you before, maybe you just get one word, one thought. Act on the one thought and step out. Come here. You, come here. Now, Chad, actually, he doesn't have a fear of talking to people, I don't think. Right?
No.
Okay. So why did the Lord tell you to sit right here?
You talk to him.
Because even you, God wants to take into greater heights. And to start imparting things into you, and that it's real important that you soak up everything that's going on right here and be ready to step out. Because, you know, even in some of our conversations that we had tonight, things are already shifting in your mind with what's going on, right? And so some of that restlessness that you feel isn't just business and isn't just financial.
Right.
It is spiritual. And the Spirit of the Lord wants you to embark on a greater spiritual journey in listening to His voice. So this is the place to do it.
Okay.
That's from God. You can sit down. Now, why am I having him stand up, or why am I having Kendra stand up? I'm just obeying what the Holy Spirit says. And so what I'm doing is for myself. I'm stepping out into areas that I normally don't step out into either, because I want to do what God says. What if I completely miss it with them too? What if they decide, I'm never coming back to that church again because he made me stand in front? I don't think they would do that. But at the same, I'm being obedient to what I believe that God says to do. Okay? So, Selena, would you come here for a moment, please? So you raised your hand a minute ago when I was talking about fear, right? Mm-hmm. So share with everybody, what are the kinds of fears that you've dealt with in the past?
Okay. I think the biggest one would be fear of rejection. Mm. When you step out, it's very much you. And it's hard not to take it personally if somebody doesn't like what you just said or just did or stepped out into. So for me, a big area is songwriting. And for 10 years, presenting those songs to the people around me or in authority in my circles and constantly being rejected. Mm. And so now it's like the Lord saying, start up again. And I'm going, I've been there before. And I mean, there's a learning that needs to happen, and there's a growing that needs to happen. But that's the fear that will hold me back unless we deal with that. Mm-hmm. Right.
So you've stepped out a little bit more and just flowing in things of the Spirit. So how's your comfort level now after a few weeks of that?
Much better.
Much better?
Mm-hmm.
So not maybe still some anticipation?
Yeah. Nervousness.
Nervousness.
But not necessarily, I think I'll just disappear into the back now. You know, so I keep putting myself out there. Is there anything I can do to help tonight? Is there, even though I know I'm stepping into unknowns,
mm-hmm.
like the chord progressions we're doing right now, I haven't worked with very much, but I'm willing to just go for it.
Okay.
Because of that.
So you want to go ahead and go play a little bit while we start flowing in the things of the Spirit?
Sure.
Love. You remember how it says, covet to prophesy, but make sure you're following love. 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 Love is always what you give to others. Love is not about what you are doing to yourself. And so everything that the Father does through you is because of His love for you and because of His love to others. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Tonight, as we listen to the Spirit of God, I believe that what the Spirit of the Lord would do through you may just be to share simple words. It may not even have to do with fear. It may not have to do with the things that I'm talking about tonight. But there may be a nugget, a revelation, something that the Lord has shared with you during the week, over the last week, that you have on the inside of you that will benefit somebody else. Tonight is a night where the Lord wants to deal with the fear. He's bringing you face to face with that fear, and it's time to go beyond it and to push through it. Okay? So, let's stand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just begin praying in the Spirit with me. Thank you, Lord. 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 As we pray, even now, revelation is coming. Revelation is coming. Insight is coming. I challenge you tonight that if you really desire to grow up and to step out and to be used by God, that you ask the Lord for something, just a small word. We can't take 10 minutes for everybody. Just something as a first step. Maybe it's just a word. Maybe it's something that you heard when you watched somebody on television that ministered to you. I'm telling you, we are going tonight. We've got to step out. And every person here, there is something that has ministered to you. Maybe it's something that's been shared in a Sunday morning service or a Wednesday night service. There is something that has ministered to you, that has struck a chord with you. Even something like that, be willing to just step out and to testify and to share with that. We are dealing with the fear tonight.
It's the crybaby. Okay. God told me not to allow my past to pave my future.
That's good. We're going to take just a moment. You stay right here. Take just a moment. See, we all love Melanie. That's why I say this is a safe place. You don't have to rush this. Just like the other day when I was trying to talk about Olivia, I started crying. I had to stop. So let's be patient. Let's allow God to do what He's going to do. Thank you, Lord.
Because when I was born again, I was created in His likeness and image. And He's not a big crybaby.
That's right.
I'm done.
So that's a great word. Don't let your past pave your future. Is that the way you said it? Don't let you. And that since, and for her, since her issue is crying and being nervous in front of others, she was created in the likeness and image of God, and he is bold. And the boldness of God is on the inside of each one of you. Boldness to share, boldness to speak. So that's an excellent, excellent word. Amen. Well, hello, Miss Sophia.
When Pastor Josue was here, he said there is no limits. And I think that when he said that, he meant that there's no limits to everything. So don't we just stay there, because that's what I've done before. So just step out, I guess.
Amen. That's good. Hallelujah. I knew the Lord was dealing with you tonight.
In the last couple of months, I had people to get mad at me because of I had a different opinion, or that I wouldn't do something that they wanted me to do. And the thing that God has been dealing with me in my private time is that I live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
Yes.
And that his word is truth. And that's what I stand on, and that's what I live by.
Amen. Right. Amen. That's good. Hallelujah.
I have a scripture here, Pastor Mark, concerning just what Kendra was talking about. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, mm-hmm. but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what they was trying to do was get you to conform to the world's image. And we're now in a time of political correctness, where things of the world, they're trying to put it on the things of the church, and they just don't mix. Oil and water don't mix. You can shake it up, but it's going to separate itself back. Mm-hmm. And the word of God is the only true, and that you can hang on to all the time. And I had wrote one thing down here, Psalms 2:4. By God, he's going to send confusion to the world. He called it derision.
Derision, yeah.
He's going to send it. And it's already here in the world. So if we don't comply with the things of the world, then we won't receive that derision.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. That's good. Be not conformed. Amen.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, this would be the last place I'd be. Because I talked to people 5 days a week about selling hydraulics. And I know it. But you know, a couple of weeks ago, I stepped out. Mm. And because when Moses said, Lord, what do I say? Don't matter what. You got to step out. Mm-hmm. He will put the words in your heart and it will come out your mouth.
Yes.
So you don't have to know it all. You just got to step out.
Amen. 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 Ms. Gail, do you have anything that you'd like to share?
We know that the word says that God's not given us the spirit of fear. Mm-hmm. And when you think about the word fear, the letters in it are false evidence appearing real. And that's what fear stands for. And the shadow of a dog never bit anybody. And a lot of times that's what the enemy tries to do. He puts shadows in, you know, before us, and they're just shadows. They can't bite us. And also that fear is faith contaminated. So we must not let our faith become contaminated by fear.
Amen. 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 That's good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now come. There's more. There's more. There's more. Is this getting easier for you? Yeah. That's good.
Okay. So I always get a verse, as usual. And it was Philemon
which is kind of unusual because I've never really studied that book. But it was 1 and 6 and 7 were the ones that really kind of, I was like, okay, wow. It says, "And I pray that the participation in and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is in our edification with Christ Jesus and unto his glory. For I have derived great joy and comfort and encouragement from your love, because the heart of the saints, who are your fellow Christians, have been cheered and refreshed through you, my brother."
That's good. That's good. He has joy in your love for the saints that have refreshed because of the gift that is in you. It's a good scripture. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not done. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. No.
It'll be quick, because I know he's got something. In sales, it's always the hardest part of making the sale is, if you're knocking on doors, is knocking on the door. That's the hardest part of the sale, is getting out there. But I was very, very impressed by the way, like, Melanie used fear as a motivator instead of a way to keep her sitting in the chair or standing next to it. But I want to give you guys one thing that I got was between hope and belief. I was contemplating that the other day. Positive hope is the idea that we can move mountains, not necessarily based on any evidence. However, what we have, belief, if you believe what Jesus said in here, is the belief that we can move mountains based on evidence that we can. So we have belief, and if we believe that, we can do whatever he says in there.
Yeah,
so.
That's good. That's good. If you just think you can do it because somebody else talks about it, it becomes hope. But if you know what the evidence says, and the Bible says you can move mountains, and that what you believe is based on that evidence, then it becomes faith. That's a good word.
See, and that's a revelation that he saw. And he just passed it on to y'all. And that's what Pastor's trying to get us to do. It's not necessarily going to be something every time. Now, dealing with fear, you know, Peter was in fear. That's why he denied.
Mm-hmm.
See, he saw what's fixing to happen to Jesus. He knew he was going to hang on that cross and get killed. And he was running scared. Now, the next time you see that he ran was to the grave to see that he wasn't in there. Why'd he do that? He did that because he remembered everything that Jesus told him. I will be raised in 3 days. Then all of a sudden, all that fear he had left him, and he became bold. And he stood in the place that he needed to stand in. And he had boldness. You know, it tells you the boldness he had in the name of Jesus, in the Word of God. So the more you have confidence in the Word, the further fear will be from you.
That's right. Yeah.
See, God hadn't given you a spirit of fear, but of love, joy, and a sound mind. Fear only comes from your head. You pull them high imaginations down. Now, you know what Pastor started out with, "How be it then, brethren?" And that's a question mark there, but there's no more question marks after it. When you come together, you know, the Holy Ghost wrote this, even though it was man penned it. The Holy Ghost says, "When you come together, every one of you has a psalm." Now, that's not a psalm. Read Psalms and you'll see what psalms are. There's a lot of wisdom and knowledge in there. It's kind of like what he just came out with. That you could have called that a psalm. Has a doctrine, has a tongue. Says every one of us have it. the one little old thing that you have that you bring up here might just minister to one person.
Yeah.
But see, God needed that, what that person had for that person. And that's why every joint fitly joined together makes this whole body.
Praise
and,
God.
And that's where he's bringing us to walk.
Praise God.
In that. And it's a purpose for the last days.
Yes, I agree.
See, the Old Testament was formulas. The New Testament is lifestyle.
Yes.
It's Christ in you.
Come on.
It's your nature now.
Yeah.
To love. It's your nature to give.
Amen. That's good. Come here, Brad. Believe you have a word.
Okay. Amen. You know, in the Bible, there are 365.
Wait a minute. Doesn't he have a great voice?
And, you know, in Scripture, it says 365 times in one way or another, don't fear. I just always think that's interesting that there's a verse for every day of the year. It can be there that says, where he says, fear not, or don't fear. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. And those are very neat, always a neat promise for me in talking about this, because another thing that just kept going in my head is a quote I heard a long time ago that said, you know, that courage isn't the absence of fear, but it's doing what's needed to be done when fear is present, when it's there. You know, and many times I think for us, the fear, you know, at least that is for me, you know, the fear of not being accepted, of what's it going to do, or whatever the fear might be, is that it may always be there. It may always, I've been a Christian my whole life, it may always come, but you always stand and do what you've heard God say do in the presence of whatever. And that's really how we take, as Pastor said, we take love and we vanquish fear by doing what needs to be done, no matter what is present, no matter what might be there.
That's good. At the risk of missing it, I need to ask two other people to come up here for just a moment and to share something that maybe God's placed them on their heart. The first person is Jeff. I need you to come here for a moment, because I just feel like that you have something that you can share with regards to fear. And there may be even a great tennis analogy in here, because a lot of times, no lie, a lot of times God, as he's talking to Jeff about things of the Spirit, since Jeff used to play a lot of tennis, he'll see things, you know, and, you know, trying new things and things like that. So whatever the Lord gives you, and if the Lord gives you nothing and I missed it, then I missed it.
Well, it's not about tennis that I can think of yet, but for me, the last couple of months has been revelation of love. That's the key. God first loved us, and as a result, when we can turn around and give him that same love, that's when the perfect love casts out fear. That's when it begins to connect. I've always had some sort of a measuring stick all my life that I've had to live up to for some reason. And I've always had fear growing up that was just my personality. And I've never, ever got to that measuring stick. So as a result, for me, God couldn't use me for anything. But I began to get the revelation because I accepted Jesus. He was my measuring stick. So now I qualify. And when God sees me, he doesn't see my stick. He sees what Jesus has already done.
Come on.
And when we can look at that, the Bible says that it's the love of God that constrains us.
Yes.
And instead of using that measuring stick, we use what Jesus has already done for us. and then God sees us perfect. And then it takes all that pressure off of you having to accomplish something in your own ability. And now Jesus is allowed to be used through us. And it's all based on love. Mm. Anytime you're trying to do something based on that measuring stick, it's never done in faith. And now, because of the love of God that's in us, that's how we express ourselves. That's our motivation. Now we walk by faith. Mm-hmm. And that love is what motivates us and makes our faith work now. Not some measuring stick. Not some, if you do this, you expect a result. Mm-hmm. But now it's walk by faith. And that love that's inside of us, that's what's going to motivate us. That's what makes you free. And that's what gets the results.
Amen. That's good. That's good. Heather, would you come here for just a moment? Mm-hmm. I know, because you and I have talked about this, that the Lord really wants to move through you. So what I'd like for you to do for just a moment, if the Lord hasn't given you anything that you've heard, is just testify to His goodness and what He's done for you and Terrell, okay?
Okay. I can do that. Okay. Well, if me and y'all don't know, Terrell and my little brother was in a car wreck May the 3rd. And Terrell was taking my brother Dalton to get clothes for Sunday morning service that night. And a man on a motorcycle hit him head on. And he passed away at the scene. So Terrell, I just want to testify that Terrell and Dalton both heard the voice of God, because something told Terrell to watch his speed when he was going that way. And Dalton was actually about to reach for his iPod in the back seat and take off his seatbelt and get it out the back seat right before this happened, and something told him not to. So I knew what that something was.
Praise God.
So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and there was actually a pregnant woman and her kids right behind them. And you know, Terrell knows it wasn't his fault and everything, but he knows he handled the situation better than that woman could have, and that it could have been a lot worse, because there was two ravines on both sides of them, so, and they left without a scratch on either one of them.
Praise God.
I just want to testify to that.
Amen.
God is good.
Amen. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for calling me out.
You're welcome. Kathy, would you come here, please? There is too much in you for you to sit there week after week and not step out and allow the Lord to use you. So I'm just helping nudge a little bit.
It's just one verse.
Then one verse is fine.
But this one verse is for someone.
Okay.
And I know.
Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee.
Yes. Amen. Perfect peace, because we trust him. Perfect peace, because we trust him. Sarah? You may be saying, why are you calling people up? I'm just doing what God's telling me to do. Okay?
1st of all, I just want to thank everybody who has gotten up and shared. I've been scribbling notes back there. Everything that has been shared has been very much what I needed to hear tonight.
Praise God.
The second thing, I was thinking, Lord, I can't share that. That's too complicated. I don't know if I can make it simple enough where it's going to make sense without a whole long teaching. But I'm going to try to condense something that God's been teaching me lately that's been blowing me away in my relationship with the Lord. So try to track with me on this. God spoke this entire universe into existence. Every atom, every proton, neutron, and electron was spoken into existence. And Jesus is the living Word. So if we learn to look at everything in creation as the substance of the Word of God, of the living creation that magnifies and glorifies the name of God, you will never again be able to look at any physical substance of creation and want to abuse it with sin. It will break off any power to make you want to be addicted to anything, whether it's alcohol, drugs, sex, because that's abusing the substance of somebody else's body or your own body. It will change your thinking. And when Jesus said to his disciples, he hands them a little bread and wine and said, "This is my body. This is my blood." It wasn't just a pretty metaphor, and it wasn't a magic act like most people understand Catholic doctrine. It was neither one of those. He meant, I spoke into existence the original seed of the original wheat from which this bread is descended. I spoke into existence the original grape which was crushed for the first cup of wine that was ever made. If you use that to abuse for getting high and getting yourself off on something just to make you feel better, you're missing an opportunity to receive food and drink in worship and communion and intimacy with me and using it for my glory alone instead of using it for, I think I'll stuff my face today and get fat. I think I'll get drunk today because I've had a rough day. If you see the living Word of God as everything you're sitting on, touching, and you handle it with reverence, not as an object of idolatry, but as an object of worship and gratitude to Him, you will not sin.
That's good. I like that. Everything that we see, touch, feel, all that's created by the Word of God. And we need to discern the body of the Christ, the body of the Lord rightly, and that is the Word of God. Very powerful. It's a good word. Hallelujah. Does anybody need prayer for healing tonight? Thank you, Lord. It was so cool what happened. If you weren't here Sunday morning, I'm just going to share this real quick. It was the neatest thing. I love it when God just does great does these things. But my sister brought her son up, my nephew, and he said that he hasn't been able to hear well. Every time he you know, people talk, it's what. And what I'm learning with what we're doing on Wednesday nights and where the Spirit of the Lord has me is don't just lay hands and just speak what we think that we're supposed to speak over them. Listen to what the Spirit of God says and how to and what you should do in that moment. And so the Spirit of the Lord said, put your fingers on his ears and command it to be opened in Jesus' name. So I did that. I said, in the name of Jesus, be opened. And when I took my fingers away, he looked around and he was startled and he started laughing. I said, what's funny? He says, I can hear. I can hear you. Instantaneously. Because I obeyed what I heard the Spirit of God say. I didn't try to do it because it was a formula. And my sister later said, what you did worked so well, I had to take him outside of the wedding because it was too loud for him. For afterwards. Then there was another fellow that came up that he's supposed to have surgery in July. They're supposed to fuse the discs on the back of his neck. And so because everything was compressed together. So I commanded it to be uncompressed and to return to normal. And I just asked him, I said, can you tell? Is there anything that you can do to tell that there's a change? And he said, well, all through the service, I had nothing but pain there, but the pain is completely gone. And so I said, well, look around. You know, I'm not wanting to, I'm not going to be one of those preachers that prays and then hopes that it gets better down the road and you go on your way. If God's going to heal, God's going to heal. And so he looked around and looked up and around and everything was fine. After the service, y'all didn't see this part. After the service, he said, come here, look at this. He said, before today, I could only lift my arm this high. He said, watch this. He went all the way up. No pain. He was beside himself. Hallelujah. That's God confirming the word with signs and wonders. It's wonderful. So I just wanted to extend that opportunity to you tonight that the presence of the Lord is here to heal you. And if there's anybody that needs prayer for anything, then now's the time. Well, okay. Oh, okay. Recurring earaches with a lot of congestion. How are you doing tonight, Sayla?
Good.
Would everybody just put their hand out here toward Miss Sayla? Can I pray for you? Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for loving Sayla so much. That you've healed her. And in Jesus' name, we command the congestion to leave. And in Jesus' name, we command the earache to be gone from now on and to never occur again. And we thank you, Father, that it's done in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. How does your ear feel?
Good.
Your ear feels good?
Yes.
Okay. Do you feel better now?
Yes.
Okay. You're healed in Jesus' name. Amen. God's good. Thank you. Hallelujah. Come on, give him a praise offering. Thank you, Lord. And so we're done. We're just learning just to flow.
Amen.
With what the Spirit of God wants to do. And it's so wonderful for all of you. Thank you so much for not being too upset at me for calling you up. Because, you know, we've got to grow. We've got to move more and more. And I thank all of you that allowed the Spirit of the Lord to use you because I know that it blessed other people that were here. You gave out of what? Of the supply of the Spirit that God has given you. And the more that you do that, the more that you'll be willing to step out and allow the Spirit of God to use you in an area of tongues and interpretation and prophecy and words of wisdom and words of knowledge, all of those things. But you will not step into those things until you deal with the fear. So allow love to be the primary focus in everything that you do, and the boldness will come and the fear will depart in Jesus' name. Amen. Spend some time, hug one another, bless each other in Jesus' name, and just go out rejoicing. Amen.